fee. And it's always called a Porte versus Jaffe claim for emotional distress. And the New Jersey State Bar Association filed an amicus brief as a friend of the court. And this decision, of course, the decision was Moreland versus Parks, involving a woman seeking damages after witnessing her partner's daughter killed in an accident. And so that would be an interesting decision to read. So the, let's see what else we have here. Let me talk a little bit more about that, because this was a motor vehicle torts case. And so in this case, the plaintiffs appealed from the grant of partial summary judgment for defendants, dismissing plaintiff Valerie Benning's claim. And so the plaintiff is Ms. Moreland, and Benning and co-plaintiff Ms. Moreland were a same-sex couple living together with Moreland's biological children. So the, it was comparable to a heterosexual couple where someone moves in with the other person's biological children. So apparently, Benning and Moreland were living together with Moreland's biological children. And apparently while attending a show, Benning was holding Maya's hand while waiting to cross the street. At the time, a fire truck and pickup truck collided. And then the pickup truck, this was in Trenton, horrible accident, pickup striking Maya and propelling her 65 feet down the street and of course, inflicting fatal injuries. So both plaintiffs, meaning Ms. Moreland and Ms. Benning, sued against defendants asserting claims that included bystander and it's called negligent infliction of emotional distress. And this is, of course, a parent seeing that happening to a child can sue. The question here was whether or not her same-sex partner could. And so they sued, including this claim, and the defendants moved for summary judgment on Benning's claim. And the trial court at that time granted the motion, ruling that Benning failed to present sufficient evidence of a, quote, intimate familial relationship with the child to support the bystander claim. Benning was not biologically related to the child at the time of the accident and did not have legal custody rights to her or either of the children. But apparently, Benning and Moreland had been living together for approximately a year prior to the accident, and both children began referring to her as mom or mommy several weeks after she moved in. Benning also testified at a deposition that she became hysterical upon learning that the little girl had died, and she required restraints and sedation to review the child's body. On appeal, plaintiffs argued the trial court erred in focusing on the lack of a legally formal familiar relationship between Benning and the child. And that was the question. So these people did not, they were a same-sex couple, but they had not married. And of course, years ago, if this came up, they would not have been permitted to marry. So the Benning contended that the existence of a familial relationship was a question for the jury. And that is the issue here. Was it fair for a judge to grant summary judgment or on that issue, or would a jury have to decide whether or not there was a sufficient familial relationship. So anyway, the appellate court agreed with Ms. Benning and reversed and remanded the case, ruling that there was sufficient evidence for a jury to find Benning had become a de facto mother to the children. De facto's coming up. And that she felt her loss as deeply as any biological or legal parent. And frankly, she probably could well have had a deep as loss, if not more so, than an absent parent. In any event, sorry about that. We're kind of, that one ran over, and we'll be back in just a minute with the sports guys.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, it's the sports guys. I think we're going to skip the news. It's all bad. Put it that way.
Pat, I'm glad to hear that we're skipping the news because I, for one, am sick and tired of the news.
Well,
I'd rather hear the weather. I know the weather's going to be good all weekend.
The weather is supposed to be terrific this weekend,
not
finally.
Not too hot. The only place where the weather might be bad is Hawaii, and I hear they're getting pounded right now.
Oh, they are. And, I don't know if you've ever been in a... Well, we have been. Most people here remember the hurricane.
I remember Sandy all too well.
And I found
doesn't look much better.
Yeah, I found out something on the news on my program today. I didn't realize that in order to get grants from the government, unless there was something other than this, that the home had to be your primary residence.
That's
so
right.
That anyone...
If it was just your secondary residence, a vacation home, you didn't get Sandy money to rebuild.
So if you didn't have insurance...
You were stuck.
You were stuck. So that's
right.
Something that people, should be very well aware of. If they had, for example, if they had rental property down there, and I'm sure that I know that there is different insurance if you're renting property rather than, live there, and I think many people, even if it's a summer home, many people rent it out either part of the summer or all of the summer. And my friend Dave Ganfus, who is my go-to person for any insurance questions, is the person to talk to, because if you don't have the right insurance, boy, they're going to be, sure that you're not going to get any compensation when you have a loss.
That's very true. And remember, the public money is there for people who have this property that was damaged as their primary home. And I think that's fair.
No, I'm not saying it isn't. And the question is, I think the people that had insurance, even if it was their primary, I think maybe some of them are questioning, why did they pay all those exorbitant insurance rates when, you know, the government comes along and helps folks out. But in any event,
that's not a sports story, Pat. I'm going sailing tomorrow, and I might even go again Sunday, although I do have to prepare for a short trial on Monday. And on Tuesday, I've got to be back in beautiful downtown Trenton. Let me tell you about the weather then.
Let's talk weather first. Tomorrow, at least in this area, tomorrow it's going to be sunny, high of about 82 degrees. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, then patchy fog early in the morning on Sunday, but then it's mostly sunny, high of about 86 degrees. So it's actually going to be warmer on Sunday. Again, on Monday, I don't think we care about the night, partly cloudy and patchy fog on Sunday night, but then Monday, again, patchy fog early in the morning, then mostly sunny, up to about 89 degrees. By Tuesday, it will be sunny, high of about 92 degrees. So it's going to be warm, and you know, if they're right, we're not going to have some rain for a while.
Well, for once, we finally battle through everything from May until now. We finally get a nice summer weekend.
So let's play a couple spots in case John shows up, so that we don't have to pile them all at the end, and then we'll be back. And I know the one thing that I'm going to be doing tonight is, any guesses?
You're going to watch the Jets and the Giants.
No, I'm going to watch the Packers and the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, wow.
And
you must get one of those fancy football channels that we hockey fans can't afford.
Yeah, well, we do, but tonight it's supposed to be on the NFL channel.
That ought to be an interesting
So, you know, they
matchup.
Don't...
Who
you
Aaron
know,
Rodgers got to throw to?
I don't know, but let's... you know, this should be the debut of Jordy Nelson,
not for the Packers. But we're in the black and silver.
Yeah, not for the Packers.
And a skull and crossbones instead of the green and Green Bay.
I may be disloyal, but I would love it if Jordy Nelson catches a pass and makes a touchdown.
I think that would be very exciting. There's nothing sweeter than revenge. You know the old proverb, football revenge is a dish best served cold.
Well, you know, I've been complaining that they shouldn't have traded him. I know he wanted a lot of money, and they were worried about their cap, and maybe he was a step or two slower. But remember, you know, that duo, Rodgers and Nelson, was terrific. So I don't think you can blame Jordy if he wasn't playing as well last year. You know.
And remember, Rodgers was coming off an injury year. Although he did play well, he didn't play all that well. And, you know, missing out on a guy like Jordy Nelson, who Rodgers was comfortable with and had a lot of chemistry with, you know, I think the Packers really hurt themselves by not signing Nelson.
I do too, but, you know, and I don't know how much of this, you know, complaining about the cap is really justified. I know they said that, you know, Jordy Nelson wanted a lot of money. I think they made him I can't say it on how I would define it on the radio, but they made him a very low offer from what I understand. And I think, if I'm correct, if my memory serves, he served with Oakland. He signed with Oakland for about $13 million.
Well,
now, I think he would have...
I hope he gets every penny.
Yeah, I think he would have taken less from the Packers, but not if they offered him, you know, $2 or $3 million in the last stages of his career. In any event, we'll be back right after a few of these... spots.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, well, we're back, and by the way, we're in a new studio. How do you like our new studio, Bill?
Pat, it's gorgeous.
Tell me what microphone you're on so we actually hear you.
I'm on microphone number 3.
Well, good, so then we'll turn off
Turn off number 2. That's a little bit like stuffing a sock in John Manfreda's mouth if we were here, but let's not do that.
So,
Pat, I had a wonderful evening last Wednesday. I got to go see something very rare. I got to see the Boston Red Sox lose. They lost 7-4 to my Philadelphia Phillies.
Why don't we save that in case John gets here? Because
well,
I think that would be.
I think we'll circle back to it. But meanwhile, both the Red Sox and the Yankees in the past 10 days have been 6-4. The Yankees go to their old nemesis, the Baltimore Orioles, tonight. And you've got Sabathia coming off the injured list of one start ago, and he's going to match up against Alex Cobb, who's got a 4-15 record. And remember, the Orioles have played 500 ball against the Yankees, but against nobody else. So the Yankees have 4 games where if they win them all, they start to get hot. The Yankees have had injuries to just about all of their good players, with the exception of Stanton and Miguel Andujar. Stanton, as you know, is outfield designated hitter, and he's been banged up a little bit. He's got a problem with the knee, so he's been DHing. Andujar is playing a very steady third base, although he is a rookie and he's made some errors, but Andujar's hitting. The rest of the Yankees who have had to step up are simply not hitting and not playing well. So, you know, they're struggling. But meanwhile, John Manfreda has made his appearance. I know he's going to want to talk about how his red-hot Red Sox are now finally playing just under 700 ball. It's kind of hard to trash the Yankees because they're playing well above 600. But on the other hand, the Red Sox have captured that magic lightning in the bottle, and they're having a legendary season that I think will go down in history for the next 50 or 60 years as one of their best seasons ever. What do you think, John?
Well, good afternoon, Bill, Pat, and everybody. It'll go down as a legendary season if they win. You know, if you win 110 games and lose it, you know, what do people remember the 54 Cleveland Indians? What did they win, 114 games?
Right.
And they lost the World Series.
And they lost the World Series to the Giants.
So your point is well taken. It is certainly perhaps the best Red Sox team ever. It to this point, it is the best record. They're 51 games over 500. They were 52 before they lost a couple to the Indians. But you know, in the end, people remember championships, and I think that They have a very good shot, as good a shot as anyone at this juncture, barring injuries. And going into September, the stretch run, they have a pretty healthy lead on the Yankees. And, you know, they should hold on and win the division. I mean, they're 9.5 up, and we're saying should. So, but that's out of respect for a very good Yankee team and also, you know, cognizant of historical problems that they've had closing it out. So I think, bottom line, as I said, you have to win to have a legendary season.
Well, what's the Yankees? I mean, I think 51 games over 500 is tremendous.
Yeah, the Yankees
tremendous.
Are 32 or 34 games over 500, and they're playing.
Yeah, I mean,
well.
They're having an any. You know, there's very few. What are there, about 400-600 teams in baseball left? The Red Sox, Yankees, Houston, and not Cleveland. They're in the high fives, but I think you got three teams over. Playing 600 ball, the Red Sox were the only, they're the only one close to 700. But again, you know, whether you win the division by one game or by 9.5 games, that all that does is get you a ticket to the playoffs.
Well, you know, and the secret is that there really are, you are correct, only three teams over 600 ball. And you're right, Yankees, Red Sox.
Over 600 or 500?
600. 600 ball.
Wow.
Houston is 77 and 50. They're playing at 606. The Yankees are 79 and 47, and they're at 627. And the red-hot Boston Red Sox are 90 and 39, and they're at 698. So they finally dipped a little below 700 ball, but I can't remember the last time a team played 700 ball.
No, I don't think that's been done, certainly not in the modern era. I don't know. The 54 Indians, they won 114 games. Was that 150 two-game season, or was it? Had it been extended? If it was, I mean, that would have made them 114 and like 38 or something.
That's right. That was 154 game season.
154.
Remember, there were only eight teams.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't remember when they switched. I guess it was 58 or 59 or 60 where they switched to, because we have the famous asterisk in 61. So
remember, the Washington Senators became the Minnesota Twins, and they.
Well, not quite, but
Angels.
Yeah,
and put a new Senators team in.
Yeah,
but meanwhile, and you know, the Los Angeles Angels had one of my favorite childhood heroes, Bobo Bolinski.
Bobo Bolinski. I actually saw him hit. I actually saw him pitch. Bo Bolinski come in a relief in 1965 in Fenway Park on Bat Day, because I was there.
Oh, right.
Got a Joe Foy bat that day.
What was he more famous for? Pitching a no-hitter or dating Mamie Van Doren?
Yeah, that, you know.
Wow.
He was a, you know, it's funny you say
now
that,
see,
Bill.
That's a sports trivia that I had no clue about.
Yeah.
Now, why is it?
Mamie Van Doren was a Hollywood star.
Yeah, he
knew who Mamie Van Doren was, but I would not have, you know,
put her with Bo Bolinski,
certainly not have remembered it for all these years. Isn't that interesting how we have certain selective memories?
I think I was more concerned with the no-hitter at that age than I was with who he was dating. But eventually,
but you,
I did now, grow up.
And now, and what do you remember, though? You remember, along with the fact that he had a no-hitter, that he was dating her.
But moving right along, the Yankees have the Orioles tonight. The Orioles are one of the worst teams in baseball.
They've already lost 90 games.
But the Yankees have only played 500 ball against them. So here's a chance for the Yankees to get caught up while the Boston Red Sox are being entertained by the...
Who's Boston playing?
They're playing Tampa Bay, I think, are they?
I don't
Rays?
Know.
I don't know. My mind is just drawing
a blank. But who's thinking about baseball tonight? There are
Boston
football games on.
Yeah, I thought it was Tampa Bay. Yeah, the Red Sox got a little scared by the Wahoos. I mean, they won the first two games, and I have to admit, I was worried at that point. Like, oh my God, we're probably going to face them in the ALCS. I just got that feeling it's not Houston's year. Last year was their year. I just get that feeling that Cleveland with Kluber and a couple of those pitchers, I think they're going to get there. They're going to win that short five-game series. You're going to see Corey Kluber perhaps three times. I think Cleveland gets the ALCS, and having beating the Red Sox the first two games of the four-game series this week, I got a little worried. And then that disappeared very quickly when the Red Sox shelled them in games three and four. I mean, just convincingly wiped them off the map in those two games. And I think that was intended to send a message that when we see you in October, you're going to get more of this. Because the Red Sox offense, they're the only team in baseball that has not lost more than three games in a row. And they've only done that twice, games in a row. The only team that hasn't lost four or more. So, I mean, they have such a heavy hitting and adequate pitching that's very hard for them to go on a losing streak. But in a short series, Bill, where you're facing that kind of pitching of the quality and depth that the Indians have, that is a serious concern.
And the Indians are a good team. You start with Kluber, you go right down that rotation and into the bullpen. They are a bunch to be reckoned with, I think. They can hit. They field well.
They do everything well.
And the Indians have not had that red-hot streak.
They haven't had a big streak.
A bad fall-off like the Yankees are experiencing right now. And you'll notice with Aaron Judge out, Gary Sanchez, and Didi Gregorius out, that's a bad hit. And, you know, the Yankees had always counted on their depth, but let's go back and examine the Yankees' depth and how they're performing. Put aside Giancarlo Stanton, who's hitting .297, and Miguel Andujar, who's at .299, but making a lot of errors at third base.
Yeah, and Duhar needs to play winter ball and pick up his defense.
He does, but remember, he's a rookie. He's got a lot to learn, and even he says so. But let's consider Gleyber Torres, who is now batting a red-hot .200. Brett Gardner, who's a .221. Austin Romaine, who doesn't seem to be able to get the ball out of his mitt sometimes at .242, even though he's supposed to be a better defensive catcher than Sanchez. Of the Yankees who play every day, Aaron Hicks is hitting .263. Not something you can sneeze at. And Neil Walker, who's something of a retread pickup, is at .269. But where is everybody else? Why aren't these guys stepping up and raising their game? Remember, the teams that end up doing well in the postseason, and I'm sure the Yankees will get to the postseason, although you can be a little worried sometimes. The teams that get to the postseason, I don't care what sport it is, you're going to have injuries. Somebody else has to step up. The classic example is Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, which I think should be our perfect segue into one of the most boring things I've ever seen in NFL, which was the Cleveland Browns finally beating the Eagles 5-0 in exhibition football. The Eagle offense looked absolutely...
I think if you had paid a ticket to see that game, Bill, you'd be clamoring for a refund.
I understand that in Cleveland, if you commit a really serious crime, you're sentenced to watch that game.
Yeah.
Oh, but did you hear what they're going to do if, in fact, now I don't know if they would do it because this is a preseason game, but did you hear that apparently, and I think it's Budweiser, is going to put Budweiser in, what would you say, not cabinets, but like coolers, dispensers, I guess, all over the city of Cleveland the first time they win a game. I mean, they're getting tremendous free publicity for this.
Because they're such a terrible team.
Well, because they haven't, you know.
In the past 2 years, they've won one game.
Yeah, they've won one game. But
I guarantee you they'll win more than one game this year.
But, I mean, what great publicity. And here I'm forgetting who it is, but I'm pretty sure it's Budweiser. What great publicity for them to do this. Now, of course, as a lawyer, my first thought was, well, how are they going to keep the underage minors out of it, you know, if they, in fact...
Remember, we're talking Cleveland here. Have you ever been to Cleveland? I have been to Cleveland, as you know.
I've never been there.
As you know, I have been to Cleveland. It is not much to write home about. In fact, the entire state of Ohio leaves something very much to be desired. But I digress. At this point...
Well, actually, I have been to Ohio. We used to go down... for Wisconsin-Ohio State football games, which was...
It's a family show, Pat.
Okay.
We don't want to get into that kind of stuff.
You know what's really famous about Cleveland and National Hockey League history?
Well, the Cleveland Barons.
The only NHL team to go into bankruptcy and not come back out. They got converted to chapter.
Yeah,
seven.
Everybody else were debtors in possession, as we
right.
know.
The
Dips.
Remember the Penguins?
The Penguins were debtors in possession, and that worked out pretty well for them.
But you know, the Eagles did not look good on offense.
So where did they play? In Philadelphia?
In Cleveland. And who was their first? Who was their first? Wait a minute.
In Cleveland, they were terrible.
Who was their first goaltender?
I will ask.
Give you a hint.
Wait. I thought we were talking about the Eagles and.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. He had led the Bruins to a Stanley Cup and then took the money and ran.
About, I thought we were talking about football. We're back
We're doing some Cleveland Barons NHL trivia. Actually, it was the WHA, but who's counting?
Jerry?
Don Cherry was the coach. No, it was Jerry Cheevers.
Cheevers
took $500,000 of somebody's money in the WHA, and Derek Sanderson went to the Philadelphia Blazers because they needed named stars. The Bruins had won the Cup. They had all the stars, and these guys left Boston and went to the WHA, took all the money, and as we know, the league folded, and many of them came back and played in the NHL again, including Cheevers.
That's right. But, you know, going back to the game, the Eagles' offense did not look good. They're in serious trouble.
It depends who's your quarterback.
Jeffries, Aguilar, J.E., and Darren Sproles did not look ready for the season. There's one more exhibition game.
Well, Foles, how did he look last night?
Mediocre. He threw three interceptions.
He's got a bum shoulder or something.
Yeah.
Now, they got big. I think the Eagles are going to have a tough first four games. I will be shocked if Wentz takes a snap in the first couple of games. To me, to put that guy out there where if he takes one bad hit, he could never play again. They could keep him out for four, even six games, bring him back, and still maybe go 8-2 in the final 10 and make the playoffs and give it a run. To me, this whole debate about what it is, they're so hot to try to get a top pick because they lucked out before a year earlier with the stupid Minnesota Vikings, they of the Herschel Walker 12-for-1 player trade, and look what they gave up.
I loved that. What are you talking about?
They gave the Dallas Cowboys three Super Bowls in 4 years.
I get it, but I'd rather
have
that
than
the Vikings.
I understand, yeah. But anything to make the Packers look better by making Minnesota look bad, I guess. But in any event, Bill, I just don't see it. Why not just start Foles and have Sudfeld as the backup and hope you go 2-2 in the first four games? And you're in good shape.
Yeah, and at least
you're in the NFC East where they're going to beat each other up all year.
And at least look at the first three games to see. I mean, and then the fourth game, you know, if they have to bring him back, if they've lost if they've lost four games, then they're going to be really, there's going to be a lot of pressure.
To bring him back sooner rather than
they'll
later.
Probably Foles may be not alive if he loses four games
in Philadelphia.
But it was interesting
because Foles, in addition to the three interceptions, his left tackle wasn't protecting his blind side when he threw. There were running back fumbled a couple of times when the offense was finally moving to choke off rallies. So this is a problem. Now, Nick Foles is a streaky kind of quarterback. You know, he needs to have the scheme, the offensive scheme, tailored to what he does well. He completed 13 of 17. He got 127 yards. And yeah, he had a couple of good throws.
So how long was he in?
He was in for most of the game.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he played the first half, didn't he?
Oh.
I thought he played.
Because that's more
I don't think he played in the second half.
I got to the first half, and I saw the highlights. And
I don't think he played in the second half. Okay. Yeah.
They've been playing Nate Sudfeld because they want to give him some reps and some snaps, and he's the third quarterback. But, you know, he underthrew a ball to Mike Wallace, and I think he was kind of hit as he was thrown. And he made a terrible toss to Zach Ertz where Foles didn't see the linebacker underneath. So the Eagles have a lot of work to do, and I don't think Wentz should really be starting. And
I think everybody who has any concern about his career should hope that he's not starting and that he's not pressured into starting too early because, John, you're right. You know, he gets hurt again, and that could be his football career.
That's right. Meanwhile, tonight we have another interesting exhibition game, Jets and Giants. I don't know who the home team is, though.
I'm not sure who it is this year.
Yeah. It'll be
interesting. But what difference does it make?
Well, no. One team is designated the home team.
You know, I mean,
it varies.
I guess
it depends on the color of the uniform.
Do they get to have the... Well, that I guess they have the home dugout. I mean, the home
locker room.
The real question is, what color will which end zone be? Because remember, they share the stadium.
Right. No, we know that.
And as you know, folks.
And what time are they playing tonight?
Pardon? Oh, it's 7 o'clock kick.
Oh, see.
Meanwhile, Pat's going to be watching her Green Bay Packers.
At 11 o'clock.
Where are they playing?
They're playing out in Oakland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're starting at 11 o'clock tonight. So
you'll be burning the midnight oil.
I certainly hope I can stay awake. If not,
will you be able to pick up the game?
Apparently, it's going to be on the NFL channel.
Ah.
So, you know, they don't. We get satellite, but they don't broadcast any of the preseason games on satellite.
Huh.
So, you know, you just pay a lot of money, but only and then get games that are, you know, that we usually go to, or some of them are on, you know, regular channel. I mean, you have to really love football to pay all that money. But even if we get one or two games, we pay it.
Well, you know, we all have our passions. Mine is ice hockey. And do I get the NHL channel? No, because I get the Rangers, the Devils, the Islanders and the Flyers all rolled into one. Plus, I also get an NHL game of the week, and that's about as much hockey as I have time to watch.
Well, but you get a lot of games. Yeah. Remember, when we moved out here, I mean, we were lucky to read the Packers score on Sunday. You know, honestly, I mean, now we have, think about the difference in
channels, 20 years, it's all changed.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. We're saturated with sport.
Now we're saturated,
totally saturated. And it's like it never stops. And one of the problems that I see is because we're so saturated with sports and sports broadcasting or streaming or what have you, the quality of the announcers and the play-by, you know, whether they're play-by-play people or they're color people.
No, I think the play-by-play people. I think the play-by-play people are still pretty good. But you're right. I was just going to make that comment. There's so many, both radio and television, but so many on television now that, you know, I think my grandson Tommy could do a better job, and I mean that sincerely. And
maybe that's why us sports guys have such a great following, because people would rather listen to us than waste their time on Sunday. We can tell them all about it on Friday afternoon.
Boy, the state of the broadcasting profession has certainly fallen into the despair.
Anybody's
that's the case, Bill.
There we go. but you know, it's going to be an exciting fall if the Eagles can repeat, if the Packers can come back and show us what they really got, and hopefully Rodgers has somebody he can throw the ball to. I'm still in shock over the Jordy Nelson.
Oh, me too. I mean, we talked about this a little earlier. Frankly,
I'm looking forward to seeing the Giants have a great year with a really good rookie running back. No doubt he's got a lot to learn, but I think Barkley is going to make Eli Manning sunset years as the Giant quarterback much happier than they've been the last couple of years. John, what's your take?
Well, I think they'll be vastly improved because everybody's coming back from injuries and is healthy. They have a pretty good attitude under Pat Shurmur, who's a great offensive coach. The defense is a little shaky in spots, but basically, if they get any semblance of a pass rush, they'll be okay because their corners are good. And linebackers aren't as important now because the game has changed so much that speed at linebacker, which used to be at a premium, isn't as relevant because if your running back breaks into the secondary, the defensive backs are coming up anyway. And with the passing game the way it is, the receivers are by the linebackers in the blink of an eye. So the linebackers have kind of disappeared because the nature of the game has changed. So that's a weaker spot on the Giant roster, but not as glaring. But the offense is, it truly should be a top five offense because, you know, the line's been rebuilt. You have theoretically an excellent running back coming out with unlimited potential. The receiver core with Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and the tight end they drafted last year who did amazing things. I mean, really, at this point, they are built to win now, And it would be a huge rebound from last year. But last year was an anomaly because not only did they have some mediocre years, but the injuries, as bad as the offensive line is, it wasn't that bad. They were just all injured.
Right.
And all the first four receivers, they were down to the fifth string receiver starting. So, you know, Eli had nothing to work with.
And, you know, that's the one thing that nobody can predict at the end, at the beginning.
Football is
a
game of depth. And if and they lost so many people to injury early in the season.
Right.
That when they were 0-4, people were actually talking about they may not win a game because they had so many key injuries. And they did come back to win a couple.
And but, that's critical. I mean, it just is. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the teams that we think might do great, we have to really wait and look at the injuries. But one of the things I was thinking of the other day is, can you imagine if the players from the 40s or 50s would come and watch a game today? I mean,
they would be laughing. They would be saying, give me 5 minutes with that guy and I'll put him on a stretcher. Are you kidding? The toughness is gone.
Well,
You can't even hit them. You can't even hit them.
I'm thinking how much the game has changed.
Yeah, you can't hit anybody.
I don't know how Ray Nitschke would be thrown out of every game. Jerry Kramer probably the same.
They'd be throwing a penalty flag, you know. Penalty on, what was his number, 64? No, he was number 50 number.
Yeah.
Penalty on number 54 for tackling an offensive player, you know, and doing it harshly.
But the game itself has changed so much. I mean, remember, it was a real running game in those days.
Well, they opened it up because they realized it was more attractive to the audience, and they wanted to see points scored. Americans want to see points scored. We don't want a soccer game. A 5-0 game is not a very attractive game to see.
Yeah, but I remember, you know, Dave, my husband, played college, but he should have been a quarterback. But back then, they didn't. He really could throw better as good as most quarterbacks are playing today. But that wasn't the game back then. So he was a big guy, so they, you know, put him on the line. And, you know, but the game has changed so much. And I do have to admit that, you know, I like the passing game.
I do, too. I think the passing game is exciting because, you know, I've watched college games in the past where it's been, you know, 3 downs, a cloud of dust, and they kick. And I don't find that as exciting as that occasional bomb getting thrown, that long pass. I think you use the run to set up the pass. That's why I've always liked the West Coast offense. So from my point of view, I think football is more fun to watch. It's just not as much fun to listen to.
The college games, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't watch that much college, but when we went to the Wisconsin game last year, I mean, I was amazed at, you know, how much passing.
It depends on the program. There are some schools that have an excellent quarterback who can throw the ball, and they will throw. But I think, getting back to your point, Bill, I think from a visual spectator perspective, if you think conceptually about the image of the flight of the ball, it appeals the arc of the ball. And you're watching the receiver, and you're waiting. Is it going to get there? Is it going to get there? Is he going to catch it? Is he going to get knocked down? There's that anticipation down to the very last moment, especially a pass over 17 to 20 yards, which is in the air for a couple of seconds, and you get that wondrous moment where you see the ball in flight, and in your mind you extrapolate to where it's going to be, and is the pass going to get there, and is it going to be a completed pass? So I think from a visual perspective, it's just, you know, astonishing to see sometimes.
Well, I agree, but you almost have to watch every game twice if you really want to see what's going on in the field.
That's very true.
Because it's so tempting to just watch what's happening to the ball.
Well, they call that instant replay.
That's true.
That's
but
right.
they don't do it. I almost
because,
wish.
Let's face it, you're watching a game. What's the first thing you think of when you see a pass play? Oh, what's it? What's the replay? Yeah. You're in your mind, you're already thinking about the replay because they slow it down a little and break it down. So you're absolutely right, Pat.
Yeah, but that's also funny because when they don't do an instant replay,
oh, yes.
You get really
irritated.
Yeah,
you say, wait a minute, I want to see. Well,
on.
Now, you know, it's funny you say that. The same thing is now happening in baseball. Because, you know, of course, I watch all these games on MLB TV, and these pitchers, especially the relievers, who every pitch is at a premium. All right, a starter's going to throw 90 to 110 pitches. A reliever is in there to throw 20 pitches or less. So every single pitch
counts,
and it's thrown with the intent of being right around the plate. And you watch, and when a pitch is on the black and not called a strike, in your mind you can't wait to see that replay with the box.
Well,
like, where really was it? Where
exactly.
was that ball?
Why
well,
was
you
it
know
called
that
the way it was called?
When Bill and I were in Philadelphia last week, we're watching the game live, the Red Sox Phillies, and we didn't have the benefit of that, and it was a little
was
harder
better.
So
to
they
watch.
Don't. So they don't put
home.
That. They don't put
no,
that.
No,
up on
no,
the
no.
Oh.
They don't put the box up on the scoreboard.
Well, you know
no.
how long? I mean, I don't remember a few years ago watching games, seeing that. And now...
Oh, now it's standard fare on TV.
You know, now
Yeah, I think that was another ESPN innovation. They're incredible geniuses there.
It is amazing to see, you know, because sometimes it goes, as you know, sometimes it's so fast you think, oh, that wasn't a strike or that wasn't a ball. And
well, they're only, Pat, to your point, they're only... You're only talking the difference of a half an inch.
I know.
These guys are throwing the ball 60 feet 6 inches within a millimeter of where they want it to go. And they want it to go right off the plate. They want it to look good. The idea is either make it look good and fade out of the zone or throw it out of the zone and have it pull back
right.
in and be a called strike. So either way, you're seeing the movement of the ball and you want it to wind up right off the plate.
Well,
you know, it also is very interesting. Sometimes you'll see the catcher move.
Oh, he'll frame it. Frame it.
Kind of suck
yeah.
the ball
oh, you
right
see it all the time. And the umpire sometimes
out.
Gets fooled.
Yeah, umpires
well,
get fooled.
And that's interesting, but
fun.
It's so, you know, you and compared, of course, in tennis, they want to put the ball in a certain spot, but they don't have to be that precise.
Right.
And that's
all I
got to so
do
amazing.
Is hit the ball past you, and that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not looking to put
right.
the ball 1 inch inside the
no,
baseline.
No, and it doesn't make
I'm
any difference.
I'm just looking to pass my opponent.
I mean, except when you're serving. I mean, you know, you want to.
Oh, then you're aiming for the lines.
But
yes.
Other than,
very good point, Pat.
Other than Pat. That, you know.
Very good point. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking of a forehand volley, but you're right.
Right.
With a serve, you're aiming for the box.
Exactly.
You're aiming for the lines in
and
the
just,
box.
And just as close as
get
possible.
Get a piece of it. All you want is the outside of the line. Chalk dust.
You just want to be as close to that line as possible, as I
understand well, it. Or on the line, you know, as close as being off the line as
the
as
outside
possible.
Of the line.
Outside line.
Yep.
Exactly.
The
but
edge
you know,
of the edge.
The real secret, though, is that visually, sports have become more exciting because they want more eyeballs, obviously, because that's how they make more money from the sponsors or the cable networks.
And I think so do the TVs because everybody wants, excuse me, Bill, but so this has got to be so good for the TV manufacturers because everybody wants the best, the latest television. So that you can
but,
see
but
all
the
those
problem
things.
With it, and you're right about that, and that's, you know, inducing the research and development. I mean, the screens are getting better all the time, HD TV, that kind of thing. But the thing is now, people are watching as much on their phones. I mean, I watch by far more on my phone because I'm watching the Red Sox on MLB TV, okay, which I could – I guess plug in from my computer, but I mean I don't. And at this point, I watch way more TV on the phone. The only time I watch the Red Sox is when they're on national TV or they're playing the Yankees.
Oh, that's interesting. I think you're right.
But I'm on my phone.
Since I don't watch on the
probably
phone.
Probably for 120 of the 100. So 3/4 of the games I'm watching on my phone.
So you
no,
like
I,
it every time they do a new phone.
I'll watch highlights on my phone, but not the
game. What's that, Pat?
So you like it every time they come out with a new phone that's better.
Well, I'm still with the iPhone 6. It's 5 years old, and it gets a great picture. But, yeah, that would be one of my motivations.
John.
conditions for maybe getting a bigger screen.
John, I have an early iPhone 4. So
it still works.
I had the iPhone 4. It was a great phone. I'm up to the 7S. I think it's an excellent phone, but the 10...
Well, we're not trying to help AT&T. No. The point of it is that the slightly larger screen with the more pixels, yeah, you get images on the phone that are as good as TV. Well, but that's obviously more of convenience. I mean, I'm sitting in the office or even in my car and I can watch it on the phone.
Well, see, that's my only concern. You just said it.
Of course.
You're driving down the road and you see some guy or woman next to you.
Yep.
Looking at either texting on her phone or
that's a whole other problem.
On watching something on the phone.
Well, that's...
But if you're a diehard fan, God forbid you miss a pitch.
That's someone looking for a ticket. And not to a game, but to the municipal courts here in New Jersey. It always startles me how I will see, as I did this morning, there was a young woman who runs every morning in my neighborhood. And I left the house about 7:45, and she's jogging along, and she's looking at her phone as she jogs. Now, she's lucky that I'm a careful driver, and I wasn't looking at my own phone while I was driving or getting distracted, because here she is jogging along, and she's got her phone out there. Now, whether she was filming herself jogging, recording herself, I'm showing my age, or she was talking to somebody, or she was...
Well, that's surprising, because most people have their headphones
on. Most people have the headphones on, you're right.
And it's the same thing.
I didn't really pay enough attention to see if the headphones were on, but she was holding her
phone. But at least if they're listening on the headphones and they see a hole, they can avoid it, where if she's not...
She was just paying total attention to her phone, and... You know, I said to myself, you know, she's lucky she doesn't run into a tree or something.
well, talking about running into something, I think we're going to play a few more spots, and then we'll come back.
Because we've got about 9 minutes left to talk about sports.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. The sports guys. A few more minutes here. So, guys, I know I'm going to be watching tonight. I'm going to be watching the Packers. And, of course, they start their season with the Bears in Chicago. I would love to get a ticket for that because I've never been to a game in Chicago at Soldier's Field, and I'd love to do that. Then, of course, on the 16th, they're playing the Vikings in Green Bay. Not going to be able to go out for that one. Redskins at Washington on the 23rd. Would that be worth trying to get a ticket?
In at Lambeau?
No. Redskins in Washington.
Oh, and the Packers play.
Packers play the Redskins.
In Washington. When is that?
The 23rd of September.
Oh, no, I will be at my niece's wedding in New York that weekend.
But do you think that would be a good game to try? Do you think that?
I think Packers, Redskins at Washington would be a good game. In Lambeau, I think the Packers would run. In RFK or whatever they call it now, FedEx Stadium or something, I think that would be a competitive game.
I wonder how easy it'll be to get a ticket. I
think Washington staying close to Green Bay for three quarters and then the Packers pulling away.
But I just wonder also how easy it would be to get a ticket because, of course, you know there are Packer fans all over, even in the swamps of Washington.
And in the wilds of New Jersey. Remember, we were talking about Green Bay visiting my New York Jets on December 23rd.
Yes, we are still talking about that.
And, you know, it's so close to Christmas that I bet everybody in the stands will be Jewish. Because Hanukkah have been over for about 10 days.
Well, what I want
to
do.
I'm going to that game, but.
Are you kidding? There's nothing better than football on Christmas Day. It's a tradition.
Oh, well, not for some of us.
It's the 23rd of December, not the 25th.
Which is worse.
Better yet, it's an excuse for not having to buy Christmas presents. So I was at the game.
Yeah, well, I don't get out of cooking. No. But what I would really love to find is someone who is willing to get rid of a box and find a bunch of people that would, because that could be a cold game.
You want to be warm and watch football?
Dave does. I know, but it's hard.
I'm all for a box in December.
But wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yeah.
To have, be able to get a box and have all these people
considering
and have a great
that a box
party.
Is about $200,000 a year, and so divide that by 10, you're probably looking at $20,000 for the box plus your tickets.
Okay.
I think you're looking at a heavy day at the game.
Yeah, but maybe somebody who,
charitably inclined?
Yeah, and doesn't really want to go on, the day, 2 days before Christmas. Wait. Anyway, if there's anyone out there,
if I meet any rich widows who have boxes in the Meadowlands, I'll let you know.
I will tell you that I think that would be a fun game, particularly if the Jets can find themselves a couple of pass rushers who can actually rush. I know Oakland has a guy they haven't signed, and his name escapes because he's holding out.
Oh, he's one of the top. He's
30 sacks.
Not 30, I think he had about 10 or 12, and he's very, very good pass. Yeah, I know the guy you're thinking about. I
could not think of
his name's on the tip of my tongue. But
one
I think that would be a great game to go watch, particularly if the Jets can do what they need to do on defense.
But the other problem is you may not get out of the stadium to be home in time to start the turkey for Christmas. So anyway, guys, I guess we should really play some news, and the heck with it. They can just take over as soon as they take over. Any last-minute comments?
The rewind is coming up. Remember, when we're the tail gunners of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio, and that's why we keep an eagle eye out for the sports. I'm hoping for a good Eagle season. I'm hoping for a decent Giants season because I want the Giants to knock off the Redskins and the Cowboys every time they play them.
Well, and the only other comment I want to make is I'm glad that the kids who wanted to play for a different football team, these were 10 and 11
year olds. That was an amazing situation. Yeah.
I was very surprised about that.
It really was.
It gives new meaning to the reserve clause. I mean, Flood versus Kuhn, 1968.
Where is Kurt Flood?
I don't think he's alive. Anyway, I know Bowie Kuhn.
Anyway, kids, both on the Huskies and I think it was the Lions, good luck and glad you're playing football.
And folks, it's going to be a beautiful weekend, so get up off that couch like I'm going to try to do, and I'm trying not to do too much work this week.
Pray for good weather on Sunday. I fly out to Vegas, but I will be back next Friday, and at the show, if we're doing it, it's the Friday before Labor Day, but I will be back.
We'll do it.
And while I'm out there, I'll send you guys all the odds for Super Bowl and World Series and so forth, and we'll keep you posted on what's happening in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. Take care. We're just going off the air.